And you, as the Word says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in your trespasses. Who were dead in your trespasses has He quickened in Christ Jesus. Know this, that while you were dead and had nothing to barter with, you were dead in trespasses and sin and had no righteousness living in you. I came. And the biggest part of your joy and the biggest part of becoming free and freer from rejection was when you entered in at the door. Entering in at the door, you knew that you were unworthy to receive. And yet, you received a gift that you could not of your own self attain. So know this. Do not let the enemy of your soul, once you're well inside the door, begin to use the pursuit of righteousness against you as to accuse you for those places that you've not yet come to. But know this, that even as grace bought your salvation and brought you in while you were unworthy and could not barter with anything, know that inside of me, that it's still my grace that's changing you from glory to glory, saith the Spirit of grace. So, again, realize that I desire for you, having thrown off the spirit of rejection, that you ask of me of the nations. For I desire those ones who are dead in their trespasses and unlovable, those that the church has often found room to condemn, that you ask of me and that I bring them in and all of them become like you, bathed in righteousness and in the glory of my peace, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, man. I've got the greatest temptation in the world. I'm trying to get past it, and that is to kiss you goodbye and go in there and tell you you can stay or you can leave. And I just want to lock up for about 8 hours and just tell him how much I love him over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. It's like there's private places, private, intimate places that the world can't go. Even your family can't go. Children can't go. There's places in Him that another heartbeat in the room, it's just that yours and His is the only two. And right now, all of our hearts are together as one. I'm really glad to be eating this meal with you and celebrating. But this really, and I believe it's for you too, this isn't my favorite worship time. This reflects my favorite worship time. But my favorite worship time is me and Him. And as far as change goes in my life, it's taken me places where peace settled down deeper and fears left. And I couldn't even remember what it was. I mean, I'd forget about it. And things that were causing me to... First John said, he who has this love in him, there's no stumbling in Him. The most part of the church and people think
Look at that.
What?
That caused me to stumble.
What?
I mean, I've been put on the shelf lately, and I've been offended for 6 months, and that's why you've seen me come and go. And what is it?
Well, that thing there that caused me to stumble.
What is it?
Well, you know, look at it, the way they treated me.
Or, you know what 1 John said?
He said, him that has that love of God in him, there's no stumbling in him.
Meaning this, the stumbling didn't come with that person or that situation. The stumbling cause was that you didn't, or the lack of stumbling is because the opportunity to stumble or to get offended or to get amiss and start going in left field. This is amazing to me. He said to that man who walks in his love has no stumbling in him. In other words, the occasion for stumbling is no longer inside of you. You ever heard somebody say, "Oh man, you're just an accident going someplace to happen. I mean, something happens to you all the time." No. What he's saying is this. Is that there's a purging process in his love. In those places of you falling in love with him. And there's nothing that exemplifies that any more than private worship. And when you privately worship him and still away, and I mean, this is wonderful right here. But as I said, the greatest changes in my life and the greatest changes in your life will take place in a place of private worship where he reaches way down in a surgical hand. You don't even feel it. You could have like 5 terrorist cells living inside of you.
What?
You could have like 5 caves living inside of you.
What do you mean?
I mean like you could have some leftovers. Leftovers like what?
Like leftover resentment.
They didn't recognize me, and I mean, or unforgiveness, or a little bit. I mean, you dealt with it mostly. You don't blatantly show it anymore. Leftover kinds of unforgiveness. They could be hiding in a deep cave somewhere. And even you didn't even hardly know they were there because they weren't so blatant that you were even talking about it anymore, except when you start to go to sleep, some of it'll come up. Sometimes you wake up and it'll be the first thing you think about, or sometimes you won't be thinking about nothing else and it'll just pop up. It'll come out of its cave. You know, the love of God has the capacity, when you worship him, for him to come and absolutely go in and just wipe all that stuff out. I mean, just absolutely destroy all those terrorist cells, those hidden caves inside of you. And you didn't even know that he came and that he left. All except that the fact is, the occasion and means whatever it was that caused you to stumble, that wasn't there. It wasn't what caused you to stumble wasn't there. See, as long as you think that's what caused me to... No, he said the occasion of stumbling. What caused you to stumble is you had an occasion inside of you. There was something resident living inside of you. So all the devil had to do was just put, you're pretty easy. Because you got it. It's going to happen somewhere. If you don't think about what that person did to you, he's going to put something there in front of you. You're just going to be, well... And then the problem is the whole church blames the chair. This is what is my problem. The way they treated me.
No.
He said that man had this occasion of stumbling in is because the darkness had blinded his eye that he could not see. Any man that holds this against his brother has a darkness in his eye that he cannot see. The reason why I stumbled into that is because I could have just walked around it and said, yeah, I know. Bless their heart. That's kind of the way they think about things. But I could just maneuver around every stumbling block. There's another one. I can just go right around that. Oh, okay. That was okay the way. I don't know what they meant by that or what they meant or whatever. It doesn't really matter. You just maneuver in life. You're just going around. There's another one, but I got, I, can see that one. But the reason why you can't, 1 John said, is because the blindness, the darkness has blinded your eye. Therefore, it identifies that there's something inside that had an occasion. In other words, that terrorist cell was living there before that ever showed up. It just needed something to bring it out. Well, I should have took up the offering again. The only thing is, when you deal with these things, my God, when you just lay back and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't care. I don't care. You haven't come to accuse or condemn. You've come to absolutely work a work inside of me. So as I worship God, whether you bring it up and I know about it or I don't know about it, get inside of there. I don't want to be right. I want to be filled with peace. Hallelujah. I could care less about being the one that's right. I want to be the one that's filled with peace and life and love and have my Father lay His hand on me and say, you are exalted. Now go win the world. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You want the last word in the argument? I give it to you. You want to be the one that say, I got it. I got the Popeye pin up. I won the argument. Got it. Give me the peace. Give me the peace. Teach me, Holy Spirit, to know how to bend these knees and say, I want His humility running in my life deeper than I want anything else in this. Right, right, right. I'm right, right. You're right. You're right. I'm not even saying that to patronize you. I just want Him. You're right. Just keep your rightness. Let me have Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me have Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. And when He does that, surgically, what were you going to teach on? None of this. I had something really good. He has something better. So, surgically, He puts you under. I worship you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. Presence comes. He inhabits the praises of His people. So you, as you're working mom, in there cleaning, You've been up half the night. You're still away for that 45 minutes and you go in there. You know He'll come. They're asleep. Or you get up early, He'll come. And He inhabits the praises of His people. You just sit down. And to start with, there's like 15 things running through your mind. Do you know the anesthesia? He's an anesthesiologist too, before He performs the surgery. You begin to mention His name, and you can't even analytically try to solve all those things. You just say, okay, I'm going to try my best to sit here and let go. And so you say, Jesus. And somehow, that presence will begin to descend upon you. And as it does, it'll quiet your mind. And that's the anesthesia. It begins to put you under an anesthesiologist. It begins to quiet your mind. And as your mind begins to go quiet, you'll fight for a little while, 15 minutes into it, you'll fight. And then all of a sudden, you'll find yourself 20 minutes into it, not thinking about anything except, I love you, I love you, I worship you, I glorify you. Now He's put you to sleep, your mind, and this is what amazes me about God. Even after we're His and we've come in by the blood, and there's stuff in us that needs to be changed, He doesn't come presumptuously and stand on this side of those things being changed. Do you know what yieldedness is? Yieldedness, like, okay, yieldedness is the spirit of holiness. This isn't... Oh, our dress was 2 inches too high. She's not walking real holy. Her dress was a little bit too high. What do you think? I mean, bless her heart. Believe me, if your baby is ugly and somebody from the South looks at your baby and they won't say it's an ugly baby, they'll just say, bless their heart, that's a baby. Yeah, it is a baby. In our family growing up, you know, us deep Southerners, we're polite about everything. That's the thing. If you're a Southerner, you're polite. Even if you're going to whip somebody, you're polite. My daddy used to grin real big just before he'd whip somebody. If you ever got him grinning, you needed to run. He wasn't going to hug your neck. He's going to whoop you. I don't know where I was at. Bless my heart. Yeah, thank you. So you dress holiness. Talk, act, look holy. No. Yieldedness is holiness. It's the spirit of holiness. So you don't even have to. Here's the neat part. Because this would distract you if you had to sit there prior to and figure out what terrorist cells might be living inside of you. And then you start thinking bad about yourself and think, well, how could you ever come? Listen, what birthed you in the kingdom follows you always. In other words, that unfathomable, unreconcilable, you can't reconcile it with your own mind. Paul said, and that's where we were going, maybe we'll get there next week, it is the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height to know the love of God, which passes all understanding. In other words, if you begin to understand how big it is, you'll also understand it passes all understanding. It's always out there, ever expanding like the universe. God's love is something that comprehending it is to understand that you can't comprehend it. Does that make sense? You can't. And to know that He birthed you in unrighteousness, I mean, you didn't have anything to barter. He came when your spirit was dead and you didn't have any righteousness in it. Now, standing on this side, I stand in righteousness. And when I go to my Father, He is my Father of my born-again spirit, and I have life in me and I have faith in me that He has placed in there by His Word and by His Spirit. And it's not that I'm bartering, but I do have Him living in me. So there is a coincidence of spirit to spirit. But on this side of it, I had nothing. This is the great thing about salvation. I had nothing to barter with. Not a cell of righteousness in me. And He loved me enough to say, I'll step inside that dead spirit. I'll step inside a darkness. Isn't that amazing? God is not darkness. 1 John says there's no darkness in Him. But He stepped inside of your darkness while you were dark and changed it to light. Hallelujah. It's so beautiful. So we put God so far away from darkness, and He is not darkness. He's perfect. He's pure. He's holy. But He'll go where darkness is at and touch the darkness to change it. To rule over it and change it from darkness to light. Hallelujah. So the spirit of yieldedness is the spirit of holiness. It is. It's holy. So when you're sitting there, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you. I magnify you. What happens? God looks at you. I mean, you started this journey and you didn't have anything to barter. All you did was yielded to the gospel message. Now here He goes again. On the inside of Christ, He steps over into those places. You think, I'll tell you what. The further you get with Him, if you get with Him a long ways down the road and you mature up, and you will, you'll look back on places in your life and you'll say, my God. My God, how did you heal people through me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, knowing what you've changed in me since I've been walking on this walk of, you know, God. But the thing you need to know, it never was you. It never was your righteousness anyway. It never was your righteousness anyway. So if it's not your righteousness, then you can relax, sit back in the easy boy and say, I worship you, I praise you, and I glorify you. And if you tell me about what you're changing, fine. If you don't, and you just wipe it out, and I just know that I'm free. Well, how do I know I'm free? I can tell you how you know you're free. Here's the telltale signs of freedom.
more peace, more agape. In other words, what you tolerate among even how you treat yourself and how much you love other people, that agape. Like, it's one thing to discipline yourself, and that's notable. It's better not to say something than to say something real mean. But when you brush up against the briars, you brush up against the briars, and you have to discipline yourself to say, oh, I sure could say a lot right now. I mean, you don't know what I know. But when you brush up against the briars and they don't prick you, the next level of peace has come in your life. And not only do you receive His love, but you don't feel nearly the urge inside of you to have to say anything. You know that the reason why you got there is because some hidden level of self was... the Holy Spirit went into some hill of Afghanistan of your spirit, or your, not spirit, but of your soul, shined a light and said, you come out of there, you booger. You're now captivated. You went free and you didn't even know you went free. You, some level of love and forgiveness and health and healing. And I'll tell you what, you just get freer and freer and freer, and you're freer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And you just absolutely get to the place where you don't feel so much even the need to say, well, bless their heart. Bless their heart. Or even, you know, if we can't do something, then we figure out ways around it. Usually. The best talkabouts have been, Pastor, I need for you to agree with me for somebody else. Let's pray for so and so. I got a prayer request. 15 minutes later, you heard all of the grievance and all of the problem, and then the last part was, and so would you remember them in prayer? No, I can't hardly remember them in prayer, because all I can remember right now is how bad they are. I'll have to go to prayer to get so I can pray for them. Well, bless their heart. So there is a time sometimes you need somebody to stand with you. But the freer you get, the more abbreviated, the closer that place goes to where all you need to know is just enough to stand there with them and help bring about the final judgment of life for that person. Hallelujah. Whew. Okay. That was, man, thank you. We have some good stuff coming up. Really good stuff. And he gave it to me also, but aren't you glad for the prophetic? Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. So, Father, I love you this morning. You're doing a work in me and in them. The best part is it's without condemnation. My God. If I couldn't be free from condemnation, then I couldn't run forward. And when condemnation is broken off, then I'm no longer fearful. And so, Father, I thank you that not only is condemnation broken off of me, but it's broken off all of my brothers and all of my sisters, so that we can run forward. And Father, just look at ourselves the way that you look at us, with great love. Not only others, but ourselves also, the very individual by which you're using. So I bless them. I bless them. And I pray that, Lord, they'll grow stronger and stronger in your agape. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've had a good day already. I wish I had an exhortation to bless you with concerning the giving. But since I don't, I'll get a lovely lady to come and
bring up the offering baskets. How many of you believe with all of your heart that there's something going on here and we're really headed someplace? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're really headed someplace. All I can do is believe that when we have taught you on giving, that when we don't give an exhortation and I don't build your faith at the moment for giving, that the character that is running inside of you will go before Him, and as givers and as those who are already have a foundation inside of them, that you're making those decisions not just in service but on a weekly basis. But right now, let's just pray, and I'm going to ask you to help us to continue this gospel here in Immokalee and to bless this church. My God, I despise barely enough. Amen. I despise barely enough. If it was somebody, I know I could whip him. I know I could. Why? Because He's provided a way of access for us to get this gospel out and to feed all the nations the Word of God through television, through radio, through everything possible. Hallelujah. Father, I worship You. I ask You to come once again in our hearts. Speak, and for many that have contemplated this place already, You've already answered that question. So I ask You, Father, and I receive all the monies necessary for this revival. In Jesus' name, would You say this with me? I say that we have all the money necessary for this revival. Father, I know that money for this gospel doesn't come through angels, through bags of money showing up in the middle of the night. Comes through flesh and blood. Oh, and I am one. So, Father, if You're going to get this done, You're going to get it done through me. So, Father, I receive from You so I can give in abundance. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. So I want to thank you for everybody that prayed with us Wednesday night. And some people went over and some people stayed. And oh, by the way, Homer said that God is just doing a phenomenal work in Texas. It was just incredible. He said that he was really humbled. He was about to break down in tears. He was so thankful for things that the Holy Spirit had taught all of us and those that were receiving. He said he just didn't know that God had ever used him like he'd been being used, and it wasn't him, but it was God. So we rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had a good time with Pastor Grant Thigpen Wednesday night. That was just so wonderful. And we so much appreciate him and his humility and having us over. And it was wonderful, wasn't it? Really good. It was really sweet. And we had a prayer. We just exhorted through the anointing of prophecy. And then we just had a prayer at the end, a mass prayer of healing. And there probably was, I'd say, 250 people that stood for healing, miracles, and maybe more, I don't know. But I'd say that's probably a good number. And God just came, hallelujah, like He always does. So, thank God, hallelujah. I am so thankful for light wherever it's at, hallelujah. And I'm thankful for every church in this town that mentions Jesus with the blood attached to it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory be to God. I've never, ever been more thankful for light wherever light's at. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise be to God. So, with this, when you come up here and these baskets fill up and flood over, we will empty them and go get them again. Bring them again. We love you very much. We appreciate you so much for coming today. Did you have a wonderful time in the Lord? Amen. You are loved. Would you please bring what you have down? And if you need an offering envelope, there's one close to you. And so if you don't care about a tax receipt or whatever, then you can just put it in. All right. You can bring this down, and after you bring it down, you can be dismissed.